Our New Testament reading was from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 12 to 28. And it would be good if you could open your Bibles at that page. Today, this Sunday, is often referred to as Low Sunday. I think that's because it was considered an anticlimax after the celebrations of the of Easter weekend. But it needn't be. It's an opportunity to reflect and marvel at all that took place during those 3 days. On Good Friday, our focus was on the crucifixion. On Easter Day, we focused on the resurrection. Today, we have the opportunity to consider them both together. I wonder which you consider the more important, the crucifixion or the resurrection? I want to show that they belong together, the whole being greater than the sum of the two parts. I think you're familiar with the expression, the whole is greater than the sum of the two halves. And we can think of examples. For instance, W.S. Gilbert was a brilliant lyricist and Arthur Sullivan a brilliant composer. But put together as Gilbert and Sullivan, they created the wonderful Savoy operas in a different league to what they could have created individually. Perhaps more appropriately, we could give the example of the hymn, And Can It Be? Excellent words by Charles Wesley, and we usually sing it to a tune, Sagina, by the Victorian composer from Sheffield, Thomas Campbell. A lovely tune. But put together, we have one of our most popular hymns, a wonderful and memorable combination, the whole being greater than the sum of the two parts. So it is with the crucifixion and the resurrection, as I hope to show. We've just sung Man of Sorrows, and in the fourth verse we sang, It is finished, was his cry. Was that the finish? Had salvation been finally secured for all those who trust in Christ's death? And if so, why do we make so much of Easter Day? Does it matter that he rose again? This puzzled me for many years. Wasn't the suffering and death of Christ sufficient for our salvation? After all, hadn't he on the cross on Good Friday paid in full the penalty that we should have paid for our sins? Well, we need to realise that salvation has two aspects, what we are saved from and what we are saved for. So what was Jesus referring to? What had finished? It was his role as Redeemer. A Redeemer is one who pays the price to free another. Jesus paid with his own life to free us from the power and consequences of our sin. That role had been assigned to Christ, the second person of the Trinity, in the Council of Heaven before the creation of the world. He willingly and knowingly accepted that role, and for that reason he came into our world as a man to live the perfect life so that he could redeem us, so that he could pay for our freedom by taking the punishment that we deserve for our sinfulness. We find it hard to accept that we're sinners. We may reassure ourselves that we haven't committed murder or adultery or theft, etc., but overlook our disobedience, our rejection or indifference towards God, our selfishness, our pride, our lack of love towards God and others. But we all are sinners and deserve death, physical and spiritual, as promised to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, if they disobeyed God. And Christ, as our Redeemer, suffered our death in our place, if only we trust in him. Christ's life and ministry was prophesied in remarkable detail throughout the ages from the moment Adam and Eve committed that first sin. His sacrifice was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and unfolded in greater detail throughout the Old Testament. Just read Psalm 22 or Isaiah 53 to check on that. So after this physical suffering and separation from his father during those dark hours on the cross, and immediately before breathing his last, he was able to say that, as far as his primary role of Redeemer was concerned, all had been accomplished. It was finished. So Jesus has completely taken our punishment, thus saving us from the punishment we deserve, an eternity in hell. That is the first aspect of salvation. That is what we are saved from. But where does it leave us if we stop there? Weren't we saved for something? Yes, for a place in heaven. So in a sense, we are in a sort of limbo, not going to hell, but neither heading for heaven and fellowship with Jesus. Without the resurrection, we are stuck with no hope. So we can start to see why his resurrection is so important and why we should joyfully celebrate it. I offer several reasons. First, he could, as our pioneer or pathfinder, enter heaven to prepare a place for us and sit at the right hand of the Father to plead for us and to send his Holy Spirit to indwell us. Do you remember those wonderful words of Jesus to his disciples? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the resurrection assures us that his sacrifice to redeem us was sufficient and accepted by God. Because God raised him up, we can rely on it. His resurrection also assures us that death has been conquered. How could we readily place our trust for salvation in a dead Saviour? Paul said in verses 17 to 19 of our reading, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." And the resurrection assures us that we who trust in him will, like him, also rise again, because in a mysterious way, our destiny is inextricably linked with Christ's, if we trust in him. Paul explained this in verses 21 to 2 of our reading. "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And Jesus said, as recorded in John chapter 14, because I live, you also will live." And the resurrection also confirms before the world that Jesus was who he said he was. As Peter made clear at Pentecost, in Acts 2 we read, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Furthermore, the resurrection fulfilled so many of the prophecies and promises about Christ. God is faithful and true, and not one of his promises has failed or will fail. We are foolish not to take them on board. They are for our comfort and strength. So on Good Friday, Christ achieved for us the first aspect of salvation, salvation from punishment and spiritual death and consignment to hell. On Easter Day, he achieved for us a new life, eternal life culminating in a place in heaven, in fellowship with him. That is what he saved us for. That is what enabled him to endure the cross with joy, the joy of knowing that he would precede us to heaven in order to secure for us a place there. Good Friday without Easter Day would be incomplete. We need both the crucifixion and the resurrection. Both are wonderful, but the two together form the glorious whole, far greater than the sum of the two individually. Together, they are the supreme demonstration of God's wisdom, power, and mercy. The great plan of salvation available to all who will simply acknowledge and repent of their sins and place their trust in Jesus' death and resurrection 2,000 years ago. What more could have been done for our salvation? In our church porch, we have an illuminated banner with a sober warning from the letter to the Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Let's pray. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, may we never cease to marvel at your great plan of salvation, which was finally displayed in all its glory 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. A plan which millions, perhaps billions, have embraced and thus been adopted into your family, becoming new people with new interests, new desires, motives, and love, simply by acknowledging their sins and trusting in your Son's death and resurrection. Lord, may this amazing message go out throughout our troubled land, and please remove all hindrances to receiving it. May none of us neglect so great a salvation, and may none delay in these dangerous times. Amen.